Eternal Father, as we wait, may the written word become the spoken word to our hearts. We ask through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Among the last words of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ was the commission to the disciples in every age, in every country, to teach all people to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. So the command to baptize those taught to observe is of universal application and shall endure as long as men are upon this planet. As Mark records this episode, he adds the phrase that Jesus Christ must have spoken in that final sermon, "He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, and he that believeth not shall be damned." Baptism is therefore, in Christ's word, incumbent upon every taught believer, and is neglected on pain of condemnation. If language still means anything, this is what the Lord Jesus Christ is telling us, always, even unto the end of the world. Now this word baptize that he uses, baptizo, means to plunge, to immerse, to bury, to plant. Any elementary scholar of the Greek language is aware of that. When you took a seed and buried it in the ground, the word was baptizo. When you took a body and buried it in the ground, the word was baptizo. When you took a garment and immersed it in a tub of water, the word was baptizo. And Christ took this word and applied it to a Christian rite that he instituted as the rite of initiation into the Christian church. As it's used on the tongue of the glib, it's amazing how nicknames have caught on and been accepted. I think of those two brothers, Wesley, whose systematized daily living, very carefully regulated, beginning with the first conscious thought in the morning, and hour by hour going to the last prayer before sleep, was known as the method. And from that method came the Methodists, the followers of Wesley, the close adherents to his method of daily living. Saxon word dunk, meaning to baptize, was given to a group of pietists known as the dunkards, the ones who dunked. Baptized. And the Greek word baptize gave its name to the Baptists, who believe in baptism by immersion, an abbreviation of the Germans, Central Europe, who at the time, give or take a year or so of the Reformation, realized that the Bible taught believers baptism. They've got to believe. They have got to be taught. They've got to observe all the things that Christ taught, and so they added the Greek preposition ana to the word baptizo and came up with Anabaptists. Ana means again. They had originally been baptized as infants. And in those good old days, the baptism of infants was by dunking, by immersion. And if you travel in Europe, either Western or Eastern Europe, and go into the churches, either of the Roman or of the Eastern Greek persuasion, you will see the baptismal fonts are about a yard in diameter. And they're at the right height, so that the administrant could take the infant and immerse the infant in that baptismal font. As the years went by, and immersion gradually was looked upon by some as a nuisance, the size of the font shrunk, till in some places it's about the size of a soup plate, just enough for a little water for the administrant to dip his finger and make a damp cross on the head of the one being baptized. It's a sea change through which the rite of baptism has passed from the original believer's baptism to the rite that bears very little resemblance to its significance today. In Ephesians chapter 4, verse 5, the Apostle Paul neutralizes the possibility of many kinds of baptism. See, there are some who talk about the baptism of water, of immersion, and of aspersion, or pouring, or marking the cross, or the baptism of blood, or many other kinds of baptism. In Ephesians chapter 4, verse 5, as there is only one Lord who gives the directive, there can be but one baptism. And that one baptism is the one mode of baptism that was given to us in the very beginning. Why is baptism vitally essential? Because the obvious answer is that Jesus Christ set us an example, and then Jesus Christ commanded us to follow the example. But why did Jesus Christ set us the example and command us to follow the example? Because of the lesson embedded in this rite, which is symbolical of a very important attitude and gesture on the part of man. Very important indeed. Baptism is necessary because of the nature of man. Now we Seventh-day Adventists give a study on the nature of man in all our series of Bible studies. And those of you who have gone through such a series or read a book on Bible doctrines are well aware of the fact that there is a section on the nature of man. Man is mortal. He maintains his continuity of life only by accepting the gift of life that the Lord Jesus Christ gives to him. But that's not the idea of the nature of man that I want to mention. Man's nature is sinful. You will recall that catena of texts that Paul quotes in Romans chapter 3. Romans 3. From verses 10 through 18. And if you haven't looked at these verses lately, jot them down, if you haven't got your Bible here, and go home and look them up. Romans 3, 10 through 18. And if you have a margin in your Bible, you will see that each of these passages takes you back to some part of the Old Testament from which the Apostle Paul is compiling this list. Let me assure you that you need courage to read this list. It takes man's pride and lays it in the dust. There is none righteous, no, not one. That includes every man, woman, and child within sound of my voice and beyond. There is none righteous, no, not one. There is none that understandeth. There is none that seeketh after God. They are all gone out of the way. They are altogether become unprofitable. There is none that doeth good, no, not one. Their throat is an open sepulchre. Their tongues they have used deceit. The poison of snakes or asps is under their lips. Their mouth is full of cursing and bitterness. Their feet are swift to shed blood. Destruction and misery are in their ways, and the way of peace they have not known. There is no fear of God before their eyes. And then to wrap it all up, in verse 23, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. So what is the inspired record doing to the human ego? Laying it in the dust. There is no room for the slightest modicum of pride. John adds an interesting thought as he quotes Christ in John 3 in his discourse to Nicodemus. God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, because the world was condemned already. Now, you know, human beings have a great resistance to accepting this truth. Maybe you can detect some of that resistance in your mind right now when you read this inspired statement. You don't like it. I don't like it. There is no health in me. I'm full of wounds and bruises and putrefying sores from the crown of my head to the sole of my feet. And for this sinner, steeped in sin, depraved to the very depth of his being, utterly undone, totally lost, incapable of saving himself, doomed forever. This creature, God values enough to give his Son, his only begotten Son, to die. This is the mystery. The mystery. Kept secret from time eternal, that for that one blot in an otherwise perfect universe, for that one canker spot in the body politic of all God's creation, that for that one pestiferous group of people, heaven should be emptied, the total resources of omnipotence brought to bear, and the blood of Jesus Christ bring about cleansing. That is the mystery that no human mind could ever guess. It comes to us by revelation of the Spirit. And baptism is man's conscious acknowledgement that he should be buried out of sight. We have been shocked and sobered and induced to introspection and careful thought of the signs and the seasons and our own heart state by listening to the tragedy of the past 2 or 3 days in Guatemala. Those bodies must be buried quickly, or they will contaminate the whole population. God looks at mankind, dead in trespasses and sins. Some men with insight have realized that. Romans 7, Paul reviews his heart. The good that he would do, he can't. He's honest. The evil that he would not do, he does. He is honest. And he perceives with his clearer, more lucid judgment that his body is a body of death. And he remembers a Roman method of execution, where the living, chained to a corpse, is rotted by that body. And he cries out, O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from this body of death? And the voice from heaven speaks, and he exults, I thank God, Jesus Christ my Lord. Now, baptism is man's response to his heart's acknowledgement of his own utter depravity. That's what baptism is. Turn to Peter, first epistle, the third chapter, the 21st verse. 1 Peter 3:21. The prelude to 21 is verse 20. An allusion by Peter to the flood. And the construction of the ark, wherein few, that is eight souls, were saved by water. Verse 21. The like figure whereunto baptism doth now save us. Not the putting away of the filth of the flesh. There's only one thing that puts away the filth of the flesh. That's the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses from all sin. There's none other way under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved, except the blood of Christ. We're washed whiter than snow in the blood of the Lamb. As we have just sung, wash me and make me whiter than snow. None other way. Baptism saves us, not the putting away of the filth of the flesh, but the answer of a good conscience toward God. That's the response. Baptism, self-immolation, self-destruction, self-burying, personal, conscious, deliberate committal. When the candidate stands there in the baptistry, he lets go. And the administrator of the rite takes him and momentarily plunges him under the water. I ask most of the candidates that I have the privilege of baptizing, do you really believe I'll bring you out of the water? They smile. Of course they do. Why? Well, you're not interested in killing me. They're right about that. And if I show any interest, God shows infinite interest. God's not wanting them to perish. He's not wanting that any should perish, but that all should come up to newness of life. As we read in our scripture lesson, in Romans chapter 6, therefore we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead, we should walk in newness of life. That's verse 4. So baptism is the response, the answer of accepting the divine program that rests upon man's acknowledgement of his own nature. He's not a beautiful person. There is no value to his own personhood. There is no value in him growing up to be a real person by pulling himself up with his own bootstrings. He needs to be born again. He needs to become a new creation. All things must pass away. All things must become new. The old life must be buried in the depths of the baptismal font. And a new life, germinated and generated by the Spirit of God, must live in his mortal body. He must put off the old man. How can a man do this? What Nicodemus' question was. Christ didn't enter into the how. The power of the wind blowing where it will. We see some satellite pictures of this planet and realize the billions of tons of water that are being whirled around by the power of the wind. Where does it come from? How is it generated? Thou canst not tell whence it cometh or whither it goeth. So is everyone that is born of the Spirit. Far outside, beyond, unaccountable, mysterious, enters the mind and starts a new train of thought. New points of view, new values, new desires. I can see in this congregation this morning miracles of such a change. Those whose one interest was the bottle, who were degrading and destroying themselves every day, allowed the alchemy of divine grace to enter their minds that transformed their bodies. They sit here this morning, and I look at them and praise God for his power. God can change. I've seen him change. That is the greatest thrill that ever comes my life, to watch the angry become loving. To watch the tense and the hateful becoming peace-loving and quiet. To see the selfish look beyond themselves to God and his kingdom and their fellow men. This is the power of God unto salvation. This is the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. This all begins with man's acknowledgement that there is nothing in himself of any value. That he comes to the Lord Jesus Christ and says, "May thy blood cleanse me." And the Lord says, "Bury the past and begin again." 1 Corinthians chapter 10. 1 Corinthians 10, the Apostle Paul takes this story up. Verse 1, "Moreover, brethren, I would not that he should be ignorant how that our fathers were under the cloud and all passed through the sea and were all baptized into Moses in the cloud and in the sea, and did all eat the same spiritual meat, and did all drink the same spiritual drink, for they drank of that spiritual rock that followed them, and the rock was Christ." Verse 6, these things are our example. Not only were Noah and his family baptized in the ark and the sea, but all Israel were baptized in the cloud and in the sea. What does that mean? Well, the hosts of Israel, hundreds of thousands of them, marched away from Ramesses and came to the river, came to the sea, the bank. To the right was a mountain, to the left was a mountain, back of them were Pharaoh's ocean, sea beach, and the Red Sea stretched before them. God says, "Go forward." He opened the way. The wind passed through. The wind always opens a way. It blows where it lists. The wind of the Spirit. And through the sea a way was opened. And they looked at this mass of water to the right and to the left. Could they trust the blowing of that wind to keep it? They did. They committed their lives into the sea and passed over dry shod. Their passing was a baptism, the answer of a good conscience to the program of God. And then the cloud that was leading them led into the waste, howling wilderness. I've never lived in a sandstorm, but I've talked to those who have in Sinai. Crouched behind a rock, wind whining, tiny particles of sand blowing horizontally, entering into every crevice. Keep your mouth shut, and you can feel the grip that somehow entered your lips, closed between your teeth. Every particle of food, you're chewing sand. You dare not open your eyes. A waste, howling wilderness. And the cloud led them into it. And they were all baptized into the cloud. They gave the answer of a good conscience toward God, a committal to the divine program. If it led into the deep at the days of Noah, if it led into the sea in the days of Moses, if it led in the cloud in the wilderness as they moved toward Sinai in the promised land, they accepted. One time Jesus asked the disciples, "Are you able to be baptized with the baptism that I am baptized with?" The committal that was his, that led through the flood that was tears in Gethsemane, that led through the deluge of sweat that was blood in Gethsemane, that led to the immolation of self on the cross. Are you able? Baptism is the answer of a good conscience toward God. If you have been baptized, renew that answer day by day. Repeat that pledge day by day. Make certain of your committal to the Lord Jesus Christ and His will for you day by day. If you have not been baptized, won't you come and see us at the end of the service? Sister Mary will be here. We can study with you. We can explain what may be a mystery to you. We can discuss your uncertainties and questions and doubts with you. And you will be fitting into the great continuum of the Grand Commission of the ages. Go into all the world. Preach the gospel to every creature. Teach them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. Baptize them in the name of the Father. And I'll be with you always, even to the end of the world. For all power is given to me in heaven and in earth. We seek to teach. We seek to call attention to all things that are commanded. We seek to present the vital need of the acknowledgement of human depravity and the declaring of the one who hung on Calvary, "Nothing in my hand I bring, simply to thy cross I cling." This is the age-during gospel. This we preach unto you. Your answer must be baptism, the answer of a good conscience toward God through Jesus Christ. Now I appeal to those who are not baptized. Think of it carefully. Think of yourself, your need. But only momentarily, as you think of your Savior and His infinite provision. Think of your sin. And from it, look to the infinite sacrifice. He waits. He ever waits. He only waits to accept. Whosoever will, let him come. This act of committal is Christ request. Your response is your answer to Calvary. Let us pray. Eternal Father,
we wait before thee for a gracious benediction. Those of us who have given this answer endorse it this hour. We give ourselves to thee again, utterly, completely, for always. And for those in the valley of indecision, eternal Father, I pray thy blessing, that the blowing of the Spirit might move them, as a ship on the sea, to the safe haven. May grace transforming, love fulfilling, mercy all-encompassing, embrace each of us this day and forever. Amen.
This has been another classic sermon from the Archive of American Christian Ministries. This recording has been digitally reprocessed from the original audio cassette or reel-to-reel in order to make this CD available. The audio quality was improved as much as possible. International copyright, American Christian Ministries. All rights reserved. To order a copy of this or other presentations, or for a free catalog, please call toll-free 800-233-4450. International calls dial 717-652-7000. You may also order from our secure website at www.AmericanChristianMinistries.org. There you will discover the largest selection of authentic Adventist preaching available. You can trust ACM. There is no compromise here. If American Christian Ministries has been a blessing to you, why not take a moment just now and send us a note or an email with your testimony? We'll share it with our speakers and volunteer workers to encourage them. Your prayers and continued financial support are very important to ensure the continuation of this ministry, as we help prepare America and the world to meet Jesus Christ. He's coming soon.